Welcome back. Once again, to Legion Reason Diversion for February 6th, 2020. And we're going to get to the topics we didn't get to last time. People were under time constraints. Shane's with me. Say hello, Shane.
Hello.
And Christine, who knows where she is tonight? She forgot, I think. Even though she's the one who's rescheduled it, but well, give her
she had her
time later.
Mine passed out.
Yeah. All right. What do we got on the docket today? We're gonna go back to the. I promised I wasn't going to talk about the thing I got off my chest last time anymore. So I will keep that promise. Yeah, I'm going to skirt it a little bit, but there's a assisted dying bill that should be being tabled this month, hopefully, and in the House of Commons. And we, as usual, look at usually what it is the Catholic doomsayers are out there in force saying, "Oh, you've got to put that foreseeable death thing back in there, even though the Supreme Court's going to crucify you if you do." These people are just dumb. They want things that they can't have. Too late. That ship is, I'd say it's sailed, but it's really the Titanic. It sank. Deal with it. Deal with it. I mean, it's just idiocy. Anyway, but what do you expect? I mean, these people are experts in what? Bullshit? Yeah, and brought you the whole concept of redemptive suffering. I mean, it's one of the most despicable things that I've ever heard.
Have you seen any, like, vocal secular opponents of assisted dying?
Never.
Yeah, no. Everything I hear is Catholic, mostly.
Well, what is their secular argument against assisted dying? And it's
the only one that I've heard is that they say, oh, family members are going to pressure granny to end it sooner because they want to be relieved of the burden.
Yeah, because no doctor has ever encountered that before and doesn't know that. Jeez, I mean, come on. That's why you have you're supposed to talk privately with the person under your care, and those safeguards are there. Even if there is found to be one that goes through the cracks, I mean, we don't ban surgery because somebody dies under anesthesia.
Right.
It's no system is perfect. That doesn't mean you throw all the babies out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
You know, the current safeguards are, as far as I'm concerned, just fine. So anyway, this Justice Minister David Lametti. Oh, let's go put the browser up. Let's see if there is a browser. No, of course not, because I'll go in here and I'll get a new browser window. Or is it actually, the window capture. I mean, it's just bear with me for a minute here. It will come up. It always goes to that. Okay, where is it? Ah, here it is. Okay, anyway. David Lametti says that the new assisted dying bill, and remember that a Quebec appeals court ruled that the foreseeable death clause violated in both the federal legislation and Quebec's separate legislation. Well, violated the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and so a questionnaire was sent or posted on the Government of Canada website, and something like 250,000 people responded to it, which is pretty good. But not everybody is happy with Oh yeah, here, let's go here. This is David Lametti talking. My goal is to get a draft bill in front of the House of Commons during the month of February, and then we'll see. We'll see where we are in terms of our colleagues around the table in the House of Commons and across the aisle, see what kind of support we have for the bill that's there. We haven't ruled out the possibility of asking for an extension, like as if the Supreme Court is going to give that to them. I really doubt it. Their patience has been sorely tried already. But for
talk
the time,
about beating a dead horse. This is a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, anybody.
How
who
long has it been
the
since
law,
they legalized it in like the Netherlands? Like,
oh yeah,
10
about
years?
No, 20.
Okay. Wow, yeah.
Good 20 years there in Switzerland, and they have. Not only do they have the best made laws in the world, they also have the best palliative care in the world. So this argument that, oh, we should be investing more into palliative care rather than medical assistance in dying, and it's like, it's not an either or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the countries that are highest on what's called the quality of death index are places like Switzerland, Sweden, the Netherlands, and places like that. And it's one of those things that is going to come whether you like it or not. It's the true progress, truly progressive ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come no matter, whinge and whine all you want, as the religious authorities do. It's not gonna do anything. It's coming. The government commissioned 3 independent reports on things like the advanced directives, like living wills, and Wilson Raybould, the former justice minister, just ignored everything. I think she her personal
she's the one that
feelings.
Went independent, right?
Yeah, after the SNC-Lavalin thing.
Yeah,
everybody's oh, what a wonderful woman. I'm like, no, I've never liked her.
Nah,
not at all. I think she just on this file she screwed the pooch. It's just horrible. It just reading, just single reading, and it was so obvious that the legislation just would not stand up in a court. And
yeah,
what? Yeah, I don't know. And she's a lawyer. She should know better. No, this is all about her personal feelings on the matter, and that, the heck with that. You can't set your personal feelings aside when you're trying to do your job. Resign. It is possible to set your personal beliefs aside when it comes to legislation that concerns us all, not just the justice minister. So that's been kind of a bit of a something that I'm looking forward to. Not looking forward to it. Nobody wants to die. Death is always a tragedy, but why make it a worse tragedy?
Yeah.
Not getting the option.
Why do we have to look at this issue like it's happening in a bubble? Like, why can't we learn from the, like you said, 20 some years experience?
Well,
that
was why the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Carter. There was a challenge in the 90s, and the Supreme Court said that they didn't have enough data to make an assessment of whether this is something that would be good for Canadians. And that was understandable at the time, but so they left the door open to further challenges.
Oh.
And there were other challenges, but originally Carter didn't get very far because only the Supreme Court overturn a previous Supreme Court decision. But it, you know, it eventually got to the Supreme Court. Carter won. I believe she went to Switzerland, which is the only country which allows outsiders to obtain assistance in dying. I don't think any other country does that. So she was not here when the decision came, the decision came down, struck down the whole law prohibiting it. And then for a while we had no law, which turned out to be better than the law that we got. Now hopefully maybe I think there's actual reason to believe from a lot of things that David Lametti has said, who is now the justice minister. He actually voted against the law that was brought in 4 years ago. He voted against it because he thought it was too restrictive. And he was right. I've been saying it for 4 years that this law will never stand up to a challenge. It's just such a bad law. I thought the conservatives had drafted it. That's how bad it was. But we still have problems. Here we go. In BC, there's a standoff between the BC government and a hospice that refuses to offer assisted dying on its premises, despite their receiving public funds. Now, I don't think that actually matters.
Is it a Catholic hospice?
I don't think so.
No.
It's Irene Thomas Hospice. It's a 10-bed facility located in Ladner, BC, which is a suburb of Vancouver. And it's operated by a nonprofit called the Delta Hospice Society, which claims medical assistance in dying goes against its principles. Well, so what? You're violating somebody's rights. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you get public money or not. I don't see a difference here. You know, just because you don't get public money doesn't mean you can violate somebody's rights.
Yeah.
But in this case, they are getting public money. They get something like, the Delta Hospice Society receives $1.4 million in funding from the province, but has a total budget of $3 million. And so they're claiming victimhood, of course. This is what they said in a letter that was shown to CTV News. A positive, stable working environment is integral to high-quality patient care, and we have concerns about the resulting impact of the hospice's current MAID position on patients and their families at a vulnerable time in their lives. That's total non sequitur.
Mm-hmm.
What is this working environment have to do with saying to the people in their care that no, sorry, you can't leave on your own terms? I have no idea. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Somebody else. It's from Delta Hospice Society. I said, it came as quite a shock to us when we received this directive telling us that we must implement this procedure in our facility or they would take our funding away. Exactly what, if it should even be, honestly, if they still refuse, you take over the hospice.
Yeah.
There is precedence for that in Canada. I keep bringing this up, the situation in Humboldt, Saskatchewan, where this is just awful. The public hospital was in that health region, was also the public hospital or the Catholic hospital. And they refused to do a tubal ligation that a woman requested. and she had to go to another health region. I went to the Human Rights Commission. She won, obviously. And but the hospital would not change their ways and said, you're no longer a Catholic hospital. Done.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. And that's, yeah, you don't get to violate any, somebody who is unable to, it's difficult for, you're blocking access to something that is considered by the Supreme Court of Canada a right.
Yeah. And was it Edmonton where they had to have the consultations out on a sidewalk?
Yeah, in a bus stop. Yeah, yeah.
And that was a Catholic hospital, was it not?
Yes.
Did they have any? Was there like any lawsuits or resolution to that situation?
As far as I know, no. But yeah, the PR was really bad. Obviously, because it greatly increased someone's suffering, and it was just crazy. It was, that's beyond the pale. I mean, it's not just unacceptable. I mean, they should have been shut down. I mean, like get out. You're done. You are actually measurably harming people. And why should we put up with this? We shouldn't. But no, they're still operating, but they do allow now. That was Covenant. Yeah, Covenant. Yeah, I can't remember the
full name. Covenant Care.
Yeah, something like that. And they operate most of the palliative care beds in Edmonton.
Yeah.
It's not like you have a choice of what hospital you go to. And, or, if a bed opens up, it's more likely than not that it will be in a Catholic care facility. There's this power dynamic which is heavily skewed away from the patient, and that's not right. And I've been watching this, and it's starting to come to a head. I mean, it's this clash is predictable. So they've even threatened the BC Health Authority, or that for that region, said they've even threatened their lease. And I'm like, good. You're not the victim. You are not the victim. It is what they are doing is wrong. Even if you believe that medical assistance and dying itself is wrong, that's you. You don't get to impose that on anyone else. And that's what they're doing. So Fraser Health is, playing hardball. Not hard enough in my estimation. Yeah, they actually say this. I got to do it this way. It's
we're just a small hospice with 10 beds that the government is trying to play hardball with,
Ireland said. Is it coming over as chipmunk?
Yep.
Oh, good. I can't hear it myself, so.
We want to continue to do the kind of work that we've always done and done very successfully, and we don't want to fight with anybody.
Okay, well, then don't. Do what...
Accept social change.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Accept it. It's here. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, this thing. Palliative care means the focus of care providers is not on curing an individual, but making them as comfortable as possible while they deal with a serious condition or illness. Until it fails. And what do you do then? Mm-hmm. And palliative care is not a panacea, right? It doesn't always work. And what do you do for them? Well, obviously nothing.
Lots of opiates and...
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's not living anymore. That's existing. And, you know, it's just, you know, there is a time when, you know, quality of life is just not there, and it's not coming back. And, wow. Yeah. They say this.
We have bylaws, and within that it says we do not hasten death. We are a palliative care organization, and we do everything we can to improve the time that the person has left.
And like I said, what do you do when that fails?
Yeah.
More drugs. It just pisses me off. These people are not... It's all about themselves. It's not about the people they're supposed to be caring for. That's what pisses me off the most. No respect for the people under their care. None.
Yeah, no. It's not about you and your ideology. It's about the patient.
And they seem to be under the delusion that... they say here, here we go.
We would have to look for private partners, but the thing is, it's Fraser Health that gives us the patients. So if they refuse to send us people that need our services, then we wouldn't have a business either.
I thought you were a non-profit. A business.
Oh, now they're a business.
It's not a business. First of all, they're non-profit. And second of all, what do you... calling your patients customers?
Yeah. And even if they are, you can't, like you said, you can't discriminate people.
Yeah, you can't can't violate somebody's reasonable access to medical assistance in dying. You cannot do that. I don't see how that could possibly hold up in court. Yeah. Whether or not
it'd be like a private store. It'd be like a private store denying access to gay people. Same thing.
Yep.
It's a lot. Yeah.
So it wouldn't just be cutting funding. They would be, they're looking at getting taken over. And good. I'm fine with that. Yeah. I'm perfectly fine with that. Zero tolerance for this crap. But, you know, that's not the is this the same one? I'm just wondering here. Come on. It's patients at New Hospice in North Bay cannot have a medically assisted death. God damn it, could you please hyphenate never mind.
Medically assisted.
Yeah. North Bay doctors, I take it, this is in Ontario, I thought so. North Bay doctors want hospice board to change its philosophy, it's not a philosophy, on medical assistance in dying. It's their position. But anyway, a group of doctors in North Bay wants to be able to offer medical assistance in dying at a new hospice in North Bay, and they've sent a letter to the hospice urging them to reconsider, but Nipissing Serenity Hospice... Serenity, oh, doesn't that just sound lovely? Nipissing Serenity Hospice.
Ironic name of the year.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Serenity.
But the Nipissing... or Nipissing... I don't know how to pronounce that. Nipissing, or is it Nipissing? Nipissing, probably. Serenity Hospice doesn't believe in hasting the end of life. Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Except it isn't. Dr. Michael Lecky said MAID is available at home or in hospital, and he thinks it should be available at the hospice as well. Of course it should be. Yeah, there are four doctors who provide medically assisted death in North Bay. You know, this has got to end. I mean, this is just going to keep happening and happening. Quit giving these exemptions that are nothing more than allowing healthcare providers, to violate the rights of individuals. I don't care if they're publicly funded or privately funded. You can't do that. I don't care if they're in a church. You know, doesn't matter to me.
Nope.
Change the philosophy. I don't call it a philosophy. I call it a position, and it's a bad position. It's unethical, in my my view. I mean, I understand that they may think differently, but they don't get to force it on the people in their care. And that's the thing that really bugs me, because it's de facto what they're doing. I don't see how any court could possibly not see that. Here we go. Try it again.
We believe we can do pain and symptom management and care for people by giving them excellent quality palliative care. We don't believe that MAID is a tool in the tool basket of giving someone relief in pain and symptom management.
Well, I'm willing to bet the Supreme Court thinks differently.
Well,
it's just going to be chipping away, chipping away. Well, you know, somebody's got to, from one of these care facilities, take them to court. There's nothing, the governments are not going to do that either at the federal level or at the provincial level. I just don't see it happening, because they don't want to piss off religious people for some reason. They think, you know, it's kind of like Disney trying to make movies for China, thinking that they can have access to the Chinese market, and even though they get clobbered every time they put a movie up in there. And of course, it wouldn't be complete without the bishops. The bishops. Oh, look at that face. Oh, such a smiley face.
Fucking Henry.
No, that's not Henry. It does look kind of like Henry, though. A bit. This is actually an Edmonton Archbishop, Richard Smith.
Oh, so, they all look the same.
Yeah. They kind of do, actually. Well, I don't know. I'm going to show you one later. He doesn't look like
two popes.
Yeah. Did you ever watch that? I haven't watched it.
No.
I'm not even remotely interested in seeing that. And I know that the actors in it are fantastic, but
It's not from like an irreverent perspective. It's too respectful of the institution.
Exactly.
Not interested. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, not going to go anywhere near it. Yeesh. So the bishops of Alberta and Northwest Territories are calling on Catholics to mobilize. You know, onward Christian soldier, and oppose euthanasia and assisted suicide, even as the federal government looks to make it easier to qualify for medically induced death. Go government! Anyway, this is what Archbishop Richard Smith has to say. We are absolutely opposed to euthanasia. Whoops, nope, gotta do that again.
We are absolutely opposed to euthanasia and assisted suicide, and we disagree vehemently with its very existence in the country. Naturally, we would be opposed to its expansion. The longer that something is in law, the longer people can think that because it's legal, it's also morally permissible.
Hey, dude. It is. Ugh. Fuck you. How dare this representative of an organization which was complicit in worldwide conspiracy to hide crimes against children? I mean, sexual molestation. It's just,
yeah.
Fuck you. You know, these people talk about things that are morally permitted, and you know, they don't have the moral standing to do that.
Catholics, slight sidebar. Have you ever listened to Kathy Griffin's stand-up comedy?
No.
No, she's actually
she's pretty good. She's a bit of a militant atheist as well. Mm. And she talks about how her mother is kind of a, you know, fair weather Catholic.
Oh.
And when she wants to bug her mother, she'll ask, "What? Why are you still following those kid fuckers?"
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a
and
fair
her
question.
Her mother's response is, "Not all of them."
Not all of them. Yeah, only 6% of them. You know, we don't know what it is, the prevalence is in general society, but...
One's too much.
Yeah, well, one's too much, but 6% is... That means you, anybody that goes to Mass has met a pedophile priest. Right? Yeah. That every single person who's gone to Mass. Yeah, I'm going to have to break out Spotlight again and watch that.
Oh, that was a good movie.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. So, yeah. There's a Catholic physician in Calgary here in Calgary said that the survey itself is disingenuous. He noted the survey is steered towards removing the reasonably foreseeable death criteria from the law. Dude, did you not hear about the decision in Quebec, which removed the reasonably foreseeable death criterion from the law? and you can't put it back in there because it will just get struck down again, dipshit. I got no respect for people that are so stupid. They're so blinded by their religious position that they can't see fuck all in front of them. While not explicitly asking whether Canadians favor removal at all, and you know what? I'm willing to bet they would. I think it would be an overwhelming majority. But, I love this. He says this is really, really stupid. It really opens the doorway.
It really opens the doorway for suicide on demand, essentially. At some point, human suffering is a subjective experience, so it's really hard to objectify who should qualify for MAID when the near-death criteria is removed.
Really? First of all, it's not suicide on demand. But this is why we go through a process. And these people are just making up shit. And if you can't tell that someone is in intolerable suffering, why did you become a doctor? You know? You still there? I think I lost Shane.
Yep. Sorry. Oh, yeah, I had you. I had myself on mute for a second so you wouldn't hear me typing.
Oh, okay. All right. So despite Canadian Medical Association Code of Ethics and other provincial association guidelines to protect conscientious objectors, there is nothing legal that is helping us to advance our case in court. We're losing every time we go to court. I wonder why that is.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Spend more money fighting the inevitable.
Yeah. And I think we're seeing a pattern here. That's like the walnuts and the sledgehammer, and the walnuts are still in the bag. You're saying, hey, I think I'm seeing a pattern here. Yeah. Dude, you're not on the right side of either history or morality. Stop being a Catholic and start being a human. Fucking idiots. It gets, even more. Okay, Catholic, I love this. Catholic bishops urge Trudeau to scrap changes to assisted dying legislation. These people just don't understand that they're not even treading water anymore. The ship has sank. They're in the middle of the Atlantic, and this is a different archbishop, Richard Gagnon. He said in a letter on Friday, the government's attempt to expand assisted death to include advanced directives. Yes? I'm going, yeah. As well as extending it to situations where death is not reasonably foreseeable is
troubling.
Trudeau's government is working to comply with the Superior Court of Quebec ruling that concluded it is unconstitutional to allow only Canadians who are already near death. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Supreme Court said it was, what are the words they used in Carter v. Canada? It was words similar to inhuman to allow suffering to continue unnecessarily. And yeah, so why are these Catholic bishops think that, well, first that they have a snowball's hope in hell? There's a they'll find out about that, I'm sure. They're fighting a battle that they've lost a long time ago. I don't understand this. What do they think that Trudeau could do even if he wanted? I don't get it. In his letters, Gagnon says bishops agree in principle with consulting Canadians, but a survey that was available online for only 2 weeks is insufficient. Well, the courts are getting pissed off. They're not giving you time anymore because, you know what? You've had 4 freaking years. And the courts are very tired of it. They're not going to extend any of this. Would be without a law, which quite frankly I would be okay with. But anyway, I had further noted that the government received nearly 300,000 responses from the public, demonstrating just how engaged Canadians are with this deeply significant issue. Our government recognizes that medical assistance in dying is a complex and deeply personal issue, the statement said. We remain committed to protecting vulnerable individuals while protecting the charter rights of all Canadians. I think the protections that are built in are already good enough. They're pretty much the same as they are in European countries that have such legislation. They're on par. Here we go. Which voice should I go with here? Here we go. Let's try this one.
The Church's ministry of healing and accompanying the sick involves national and regional networks of parishes and healthcare institutions on which vulnerable Canadians and their families rely.
Dude, this is the language is English. I guess Gagnon is probably more French. But anyway, yeah. The word on is missing here.
And their families rely on for support and care. We visit the elderly who are lonely, isolated, abandoned, and insufficiently supported by healthcare and community services. We listen to those who, gripped by a physical or psychological crisis, see no reason for going on.
This old trope again?
Yep.
This tired and false old trope? Holy crap. If my stepfather were around, he'd kick your ass, Gagnon. I mean, for him, assisted dying wasn't available, and he had to voluntarily withdraw from food and water. Tell me that's better. You son of a bitch. I got no respect for them, and I have no patience. Where should I go with this one? I'm not sure if that one's going to be good. Let's go back to the baby.
We, as bishops of the Catholic faithful in Canada, call on the government to engage in a more rigorous, impartial, and prolonged study of the problems inherent in euthanasia-assisted suicide by involving those whose experience.
Jesus Christ, can you freaking punctuate? I'm running out of air.
I think the grammar bugs you more.
It's like a whole paragraph, and there's not a period in it.
By involving those whose experiences offer a different perspective and even present inconvenient truths.
You know, your experiences, you know, your different perspectives, you're fine to have them. But you do not get to foist those perspectives on anyone else. No. Fuck the church. This is just... No. You don't get to do this. You don't get to have your way because your way violates people's rights. So screw off. Jeez. So yeah. March 11th is the deadline for when the law, parts of the law involving foreseeable death cease to be. And so they're trying to have legislation in place before then. Let's do it the way Catholics wanted us to do it. Let's have a prolonged discussion of this, you know, so for the on the order of 6-7 centuries. I'm fine with that. That'd be great. You can talk till the cows come home and no law is better than the law we have now. So yeah. We got some more bishops in here? Oh yeah, yeah. Here we go. This guy doesn't look like Fred Henry. Bishops, yeah, surprise here. Bishops pan federal government's survey on expanding assisted suicide. Yeah, well, I pan the Catholic Church, so there you go. Stop listening, Catholics. Stop listening to popes and bishops and people who have no standing. You know, they have no, they're not grounded in ethics at all. Okay, just stop listening to them. I love this. In a strongly worded letter to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, dated January 31st, Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops, President Richard Gagnon reiterated the Catholic Church's opposition to government-sanctioned suicide while slamming the idea that a survey is the way to address grave moral questions. Yeah, because the Catholic Church has been so good at that. Yeah,
I think they're more pawns than bishops.
Yeah. Or, I don't know, some of them might be queens, I don't know.
Yes!
But that, okay, that being said, now that I've offended for a second. Thank you. I'm here all week. Here's what Gagnon has to say here.
It is inappropriate and superficial to use a survey to address grave moral questions concerning life and death.
Grave death. Get it? Ha ha ha.
Ah.
Yeah, take it on the road. You know, preferably like Antarctica. He's actually Archbishop of Winnipeg. I almost feel sorry for him. Sorry, but I lived in Winnipeg. It's freaking cold.
Yeah, try Thompson.
Everybody looks at Churchill and thinks, oh, great, I'm glad I don't live there. I don't know why anybody lives in there in the winter. I understand in the summer, but, you know, it's an important port. But, have they rebuilt that rail line to Churchill? Yeah.
I don't know.
That's an iffy rail line because, I mean, it's going over Muskeg and permafrost. And
yeah, and the train bends and
yeah,
or track
I'm sure
bends
it does
have to be repaired and
yeah,
it's, I believe you can still take the yeah.
Well, it was destroyed
tickets,
in a,
so yeah
for a while, And the operating, the company that operated the line, they weren't going to rebuild it. But I think the government, because it's essential to have that rail line, just for food to subsist.
The tickets and the trains are done by VIA, but the maintenance of the track and everything is farmed out to a private company called OmniTracks. That happened when I was in high school. Other than that, the only other way to get to Churchill is to fly, which is ridiculously expensive. It's about a $5,000 round trip from Winnipeg.
Wow. Yeah. It's kind of a odd duck location, but and it'd be seasonal too, I'm sure. Oh, maybe not. I guess get they're
flying.
Yeah.
No, flying you can do all year. It's just that there's one airline that does it, Calm Air. It's a Thompson-based airline, and they charge a fortune for it because they can.
They're called Palm Air.
Calm Air.
Oh, Calm Air. I thought you said Palm Air, and I thought, wow, that's ironic.
No. A little bit, yeah. But, even Calm is ironic because they're all propeller planes that don't climb over turbulence. But,
Oh, basically, they're bush pilots, glorified bush pilots.
No.
Because of the permafrost, they can't have sewage below ground, so the pipes run above ground.
Flint One has the same thing because it was built on a rock. Yeah.
Yeah, it's shield country.
Was built on the whole town is built on rock, so all of their sewers and pipes go on these above the ground, and they're covered by these wooden frames. It's really weird to look at.
Yeah, and in the winter, the steaming piles really. I'm sure they break often.
And then in Thompson, the runway was built over. There's some issue with permafrost or something, so there's a dip in the middle.
Everybody's stomachs.
Fond memory of flying home is landing on that thing, and if the pilot couldn't stop the plane for the dip in the runway, there was a little whoop right.
I was watching some video of this airstrip in Nepal that jets land on. It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Like you go off the end of the runway, you go off the end of the earth. Basically, it's just nuts. It's maybe even worse than Kai Tak, the old Hong Kong airport. But that was just where the aircraft
plane had to turn at the last second to avoid hitting a condo.
Yeah, exactly. They're banking right in front of high rise buildings. It was insane, and they had so many engine strikes all the time because it's. Yeah, only captains could land there. And then I'd hate to be my first time. I'd be like, I am not getting promoted to captain. No. I am not going to land that plane at Kai Tak. It's go to YouTube and see some
Nepal
good video of that.
Been on May Day episodes.
Oh yeah, has it? Oh,
yeah,
I haven't seen that.
Pilots were crashing the mountains.
Oh yeah, maybe I did see one where they did that. Yeah, I take it you guys don't show May Day episodes of May Day on.
Actually, funny that you mentioned that. We used to have satellite TV on the plane, right?
And they would have had them. Yeah,
that's been removed in favor of the wireless streaming thing. Okay. But when we had the satellite TV, one of the channels was Discovery, and if Mayday was on, more than half the plane would be watching Mayday. It was the weirdest thing to experience on a plane.
Well, I can't believe they've gone back to nose wheel cameras. I'm like, are you freaking nuts? Like, this is what the I remember what it was, an episode of Mayday. They would have been watching the nose cam and watching the imminent
death. It was a flight deck cam. It was an American Airlines DC-10. Yeah. They had a camera that was pointing out the flight deck windows, and due to bad maintenance procedures, an engine fell off during takeoff. And yeah, the plane almost inverted and crashed into a hangar.
Oh.
And American didn't like the idea of knowing that their customers were watching their impending death.
Yeah.
And I saw that episode. Yeah. No more cameras. So yep. Americans never
doing gone
that
back
again.
To it.
Yeah.
I mean, some airlines, I think it's KLM.
Some airlines. Yeah. Other airlines, Americans said they'll never do it again, but other airlines have tail cams, nose cams.
Yeah. It's just like, whoa. Okay, let's just watch, what was that Denzel Washington movie where the...
Flight?
Yeah. Let's just put that on the big screen. I had fun watching the nose cam, but I don't know. This is just, I don't know. If something bad's going to happen, I don't think I want to know.
No.
I'd rather just die. Thanks. Anyway, I'm a medical assistant. So, here we go. Back to the Gagnon's letter here. Maybe I'll do it as a sermon. The government gave Canadians just 14 days to fill out a bare bones online questionnaire on expanding MAID. Graduating high school students have more time to consider a university acceptance letter than Canadians were given to consider monumental social change fraught with moral complexity. The government needs to take its time. Yeah, I don't think the courts think that. I really don't.
No.
I mean, the last time they asked for an extension, they asked for 6 months and they got 3. And that was the majority decision. The minority wanted 0. Yeah, they're not happy. You don't want to piss off the Supreme Court. Yeah, this is just pissing into the wind. You know, it's just dumb. I mean, it's What do they expect that can be done? This is a fait accompli. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. It's not going to happen.
Coup d'état.
Coup d'état. Coup d'état. Coup d'état.
Fait accompli.
Yeah. Yeah. What else we got? Oh yeah, there was a Michael Corrin. He's pretty conservative, but. I agree with him on this. As feds rethink MAID, remember the alternative to assisted dying isn't living, it's unassisted dying. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to have to use that. It's exactly right. It's it's just going to keep happening because religious organizations are going to keep dragging their feet. They're going to keep trying to disobey the law until finally we've had enough and say we've had enough and just completely remove them from any healthcare. That would be nice. I mean, you want religion in your healthcare. Go to a public hospital and ask for a priest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a problem. No one's going to say no.
An old priest and a young priest.
Because religion, yeah, religion doesn't add anything to healthcare. In fact, it often takes away. So it's a good piece in, opinion piece on CBC website and... Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's a good way of putting it. Where are we at here? We got... We did Well, we didn't start talking about the anti-vax thing. Oh, did we?
We touched on it.
Yeah, we didn't finish it, I don't think. But, the whole... Oh, it's not the... It was the BC judge. Mother and father. The father wanted his kids to be vaccinated.
Yes.
And the mother refused to sign off and tried to introduce into evidence at the court hearing that this quack, at least on vaccinations, Dr. Tony Lynn Bark. It's not on here. Oh, well. Hi, Joe. The judge got the decision right here, but it really makes me nervous when science is being adjudicated in a courtroom. It's just not the place for it.
No.
Judicial appeals on vaccination can create false idea that science itself is up for debate. Yep, I agree with this assessment. I was thinking exactly the same thing. This is written by Carly Weeks. We might have covered some of the stuff that that she's written before. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
When judges hear a vaccination-related case, they are often asked to weigh legitimate scientific evidence against testimony from vaccination opponents who are skilled at making their arguments sound credible. Like, what was that sciencey-sounding term that she used? Oh, yeah, vaccine adversomics. Genomics, but adversomics. Yeah, so sciencey sounding and yeah, whatever. So the National Judicial Institute, they provide education and training for judges in cases involving science, especially medicine and science. Justice Adele Kent, yeah, we mentioned her last time. She says judges play a gatekeeper role, meaning they must decide when scientific evidence is valid and when it is not. That's difficult if you don't have a handle on the peer-reviewed literature. Science is complex, and some witnesses who oppose vaccines can be very persuasive about their medical credibility. Yeah, they can be. You get a false sense of the real balance. Like if you've got one expert for the prosecution and one for the defense. In the case of vaccine safety and efficacy, if there was real balance, there'd be 1,000 scientists and physicians that have done research into the safety and efficacy of vaccines, and one total whack-a-loon. Because even in medicine, there's whack-a-loons, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad I didn't put the dog.
Have you seen Gwyneth Paltrow's Netflix special?
No, I've heard. I know she put one on. I'll have to take a look at that because. Just for fun. I don't know how long I could stand it, but no, I will see.
Most people give it like about 10 minutes. That's all it should take. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably all spiritual and...
Oh, yeah.
It was funny when before we got married, my wife and I went to this... The city of Calgary has this thing for people that are going to get married. It's just neither one of us got anything out of it, but anyway, this is for some thing we split off into men and women, separate groups, and not newlywed but engaged woman was saying, is anybody else here spiritual? And Rhonda's thinking, where's Randy? I'd be like, you know, it's like, I just, it depends on what you, depends on what you mean by spiritual. I mean, I find science and, you know, the wonders of the universe to be inspiring and not made up shit, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need to make up crap. You really don't. I mean, you take a look at what science has accomplished, and I love going to the great courses. I've spent a lot of money there. The latest one I'm looking at is nuclear physics. So I'm looking at nuclear processes. Some of that would be in terms of like nuclear reactors. I got interested because I recently watched Chernobyl, the HBO miniseries, which was fantastic. And so I learned a lot more about some of the processes that were involved in that disaster. It's pretty interesting. They actually mentioned some things like the being in a xenon well. They don't really explain it. Xenon well is when you have a high concentration of xenon gas, which is a product of the fission of uranium 235. I think it's 235. And it absorbs neutrons like crazy. It loves neutrons, and so you can't, if you shut off a reactor, you cannot start it up for 3 days, because mm-hmm. it takes 3 days for the xenon, which is itself radioactive, that decays, and then you can start up the reactor again, because, you know, there's just not enough neutrons for a sustained reaction. And but in Chernobyl, they basically tried to start it up right away and pulled out all of the rods, all the control rods. And so all they had in there was the moderators. Moderators actually speed up reaction. And so the moderators are in the middle of the pile. So the bottom and the top, there's no moderator there. It's kind of makes the flux even throughout the whole length of the fuel rods. But when they tried to scram the reactor, the control rods started moving down, but the moderator was also, it's part of it, is that there's a moderator in the on one end and the actual neutron absorbing rods at the top, but there's nothing at the very bottom. And so when they tried to scram the reactor, push the rods back in, the bottom of the pile all of a sudden spiked because it pushed the xenon out of there, and it went runaway to the point of at least 100 times the heat output that the reactor was designed to operate at. And that's what triggered all the rest of it. So you had a flash boil of water, mm-hmm. and which further exacerbated things because of the design of the reactor. It has what's called a positive cavity coefficient, which means that the Western reactors do not work this way. Thankfully, they're all the water is the moderator. So it's, you know, so there's no, so the control rods are just control rods. You just pull them in and out. And that's how you control the reaction and keep it even. So it's a negative, there's a negative cavity coefficient, which means that if something bad happens, the reactor just turns off. That's it. You're done for 3 days until the xenon goes away. But in the RBMK design, it actually speeds up the reaction. So the water flash boiled, creating cavities. It's what steam is. It's compared to water, it's vacuum. And so allowed a runaway reaction to happen. All of it boiled off, superheated the steam, so it decomposed it to hydrogen and oxygen. And when that cooled enough to form water again, well, guess what happens? It ignites, and it just, yeah, the whole reactor blew up. And again, there's no coolant, so the thing's uh-huh. So now it's turned into a meltdown. And when the firefighters got there, they're dousing everything with water. Well, the water came they'd emptied the holding tanks for water, but they forgot that the firefighters were there, dousing flames, but the water was going back into the holding tanks. Uh-huh. And if the meltdown had got to those holding tanks, they estimated between 2 and 4 megaton explosion, which would have been game over for Eastern Europe. It would have been, they would have had to evacuate because the groundwater would have been contaminated for centuries.
Right. The cognitive dissonance guys and the scathing atheist guys, they do a podcast called Citation Needed, and they did a whole episode on the Chernobyl disaster. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah. I remember when this happened. I was at a conference in somewhere, and we were just getting the first reports of radiation in the radioactive particles in the atmosphere, and we were all wondering what the hell was going on. And Soviet Union was very tight-lipped about it, but they couldn't keep it under wraps forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a shit show. And no reactor in the West doesn't have a containment building, right? I mean, those things are just so strong that you could fly a loaded plane into them, a loaded jumbo, and, you just chip paint. It's interesting. I've been looking at some of the, and one of the problems, of course, is that Chernobyl and Three Mile Island and more recently Fukushima, they've turned people off of nuclear power, but it's still the safest by far of any of the forms of generating electricity. And we really need more reactors, not fewer. But all the reactors in the West have those containment buildings. You just don't put a reactor on a fault line, just makes sense. Put it offshore on a boat. You can do that. It's perfectly, maybe making light of the size of the boat, but you can do that. Germany's taking their reactors offline just when they need more. The renewables has been largely a failure in Germany. They keep adding more wind turbines and more solar panels, but they're at the mercy of the elements. They actually generated less power last year, despite 10-15% increases in wind, number of wind turbines and solar cells. It just wasn't sunny or windy enough. So what do you do? So you're going, they're kind of quietly going back to fossil fuels. They're not really talking about it because it's embarrassing. But like I say, if nuclear is not front and center of any energy policy, then that country is not serious about out fighting climate change. You can't do it. I just don't see it. And people think, well, you can just turn off the fossil fuels, and I'm like, wow, No. That would be a bad idea. Like it or not, we're still wedded to them, and the only way to get off of it is nuclear.
So, yep.
That includes making solar cells and wind turbines. You know, these things don't grow on trees. You know, they take energy to produce. Anyway, getting farther afield. It's a false balance in a court trial. It's always worrying. And I've actually heard people use the argument that, well, I think I said this last time, but glyphosate was ruled by a court that it's cancer causing. And I'm like, oh, we don't do science in a classroom or in a courtroom. We do it in a lab. And we certainly don't determine what is or is not science in a courtroom. Please.
You know. Like when you go to California, everything says on it, this has been found to cause cancer.
Oh, yeah.
In the state of California.
You know, when the WHO put glyphosate on there as a possible cancer-causing agent, well, it's caffeine's on there too.
Yeah.
You know, it's
everything causes cancer.
This cat is crazy. Okay. You know what? This is why I wanted Christine on tonight. I wanted to ask her about this.
She's on the call, but she says she can't.
Yeah. She can't? She's on the call, but she can't? I want to get her reaction for this. We talked a little bit about this last time. The dangerous rise of men who won't date woke women. It's apparently dangerous to not date woke women. I just call it smart. Yeah, it's like, maybe she could type in somewhere what she thinks of this one, because anyway.
Mama, can you hear me?
It's kind of interesting. So they won't date woke women. Are they upset at that, or are they saying that it might be a loss of an opportunity to turn people woke? I don't know, but I can tell you why. Because woke people are nuts. their grip on reality is questionable. But you get this. Right, this is when I've the opposite end of the spectrum. Should you shag someone with bad politics?
Shag?
You know, the British term for sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the headline, like, that's weird. Right.
So which is it? Are you upset that that men don't date woke women, or are you upset with woke women who date unwoke men? I don't, it's kind of like, I don't know. It's confusing. Man, it's all moot.
Yeah.
And I think we're finally winning the culture war, and slowly we're turning it. It's going to take another year or two before this spate of bad films ends. But I hear Birds of Prey is gonna not do well.
No. You see it? No.
It's not out till tomorrow night.
Oh.
But there's a story that an insider has, a source inside, I don't know who put out, it would have been DC, right? So somebody inside the organization is saying they've pretty much written it off. You know, why does Ewan McGregor, Why did they even allow him to open his mouth? I mean, he keeps saying, oh, it's about, I promised I wasn't going to talk about this. I was finished. Yeah. Suffice it to say that, you know, it keeps bringing up misogyny, but it's a movie about misandry, really, because it's dealing with perceived misogyny with a baseball bat to the head. I don't know. I mean, don't give Amber Heard any more ideas, you know? Didn't get that reference?
Amber Heard.
She's,
is that Big Red?
No, no, no. Amber Heard was Johnny Depp's wife, and Johnny Depp got canceled from the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie because she accused him of violence, and even even his ex-wives came out and said that's bullshit.
No, I didn't catch that.
And audio has, I've heard the audio. She's the actual perpetrator, not him. So it's, it's interesting. He's a very nonviolent person. And, so I wonder if Disney's not going to apologize. And, you know, the only thing that was any good about the Pirates of the Caribbean movies was him. Mm-hmm. The rest was just crap. It was they're not good movies. They weren't good movies. Okay, they were just bad. But that's Disney.
Yeah. Oh, Disney.
Yeah. Between that and Star Trek, yeah. Oh, well. But I've digressed enough. I'm done. I think that's it. That's all I got.
About it?
Yeah. That's all I got. Unless Christine has said anything. I don't think she has.
No.
Oh, well. Be interesting.
She says it's Skype issues, but I still think it's a box of wine.
I'm trying to find the any key. That's a bad joke. Yeah.
Simpsons.
So I guess we'll close out.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll have more next time. And maybe, we could have. She could have phoned in. Oh, well. But anyway. So. Say goodnight, Dick.
Good night.
You've been listening to the Legion of Reason Diversion coming to you from Alberta, Canada. If you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing to our bi-weekly podcast on iTunes and other podcatchers. Even better, subscribe to our YouTube live sessions where you can join in on the discussion. Thanks for giving us a listen. Music and other sound effects under license from audioblocks.com.